Random House Audio presents Robogenesis by Daniel H. Wilson. Read for you by McLeod Andrews, Emily Rankin, and Mike Chamberlain. If an intelligence, at a given instant, knew all the forces that animate nature and the position of each constituent being, if, moreover, this intelligence were sufficiently great to submit these data to analysis, it could embrace in the same formula the movements of the greatest bodies in the universe and those of the smallest atoms. To this intelligence nothing would be uncertain, and the future, as the past, would be present to its eyes. Pierre-Simon Laplace, 1814.
Part 1. Lark Ironcloud. The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried. Merle Haggard, 1968. Briefing. Strange things grow in the fog of war. We lost sight of the world while we were in the trenches. Now that it's over, I figure I've got to tell the story of the thing, just to understand what it was. In its last days, the thinking machine known as Arcos R14 was trying to know humanity. It mastered the art of capturing a human mind. When it died, it left behind the tools. I found stories trapped in patterns of neurons. Using scavenged hardware, I took three accounts straight from three minds, and I lined them up from beginning to end and back again. Three times to tell it. Three times to understand. They say history is written by the victors, but this right here is told by its victims. My name is R.H. Shaw, and this is the story of how I won the true war. R.H. Shaw. Chapter 1. Parasite. New War. Final Minutes. In the last moments of the new war, the enemy Arcos R14 resorted to ruthless tactics. As exhausted Allied soldiers finally reached the Ragnarok intelligence fields where Arcos R14 had buried itself, they were met with a nasty counterattack, scuttling, crab-like machines that mounted the bodies of fallen soldiers. With titanium limbs buried in dead or dying flesh, soldier corpses rose again. These parasites dealt terrible damage to the bodies and minds of the living. But what was left behind when the battle ended was Arcos R14's most horrific contribution to the true war. R.H. Shaw. Neuronal ID. Lark Ironcloud.
There was no way to win this war, and we all knew it, but we marched anyway. I shove my checkerboard scarf deeper into my parka and hold my breath. Kneeling on the ice-kissed turf, I brace against a tree and press the cold rims of binocular-enhanced goggles against my face. The situation has well and truly gone to shit here in the godforsaken woods of western Alaska. The new war started when a thinking machine we call Big Rob turned our tools against us. In the madness of zero hour, some of us in Oklahoma found refuge with the Osage Nation. We survivors fell back to the rural town of Gray Horse and counted our lucky stars. But the machines evolved. Over months and years, they crossed the Great Plains, slithered through the waving grass, and climbed our stone bluffs. So we fought then, and we fight now. Our bullets are chasing each other through black tree branches, tracers streaking like falling stars. The last lines of our walking tanks are arrayed defensively, spotlights glowing bright in the twilight, each four-legged hulk a pool of light spaced a half-click from its brothers and hunkered down to provide cover for ground forces. Dark enemy fire is whining out of the woods like mosquitoes. Most of their rounds are a flesh-burrowing variety, called pluggers, but waves of exploding crawlers called stumpers are also skittering toward us. Letting the goggles flop on my neck, I get moving. My collar radio is hissing with cavalry calls from squads scattered over the rough countryside. Scrambling low through the trees, I ignore the clipped cries for help and head toward Beta Squad. There are no reinforcements. There is nothing left now but metal and snow and blood.
"Come in, Lonnie," I pant into my radio. "You there?"
"Go ahead,"
comes the reply. The voice is measured and calm. It belongs to Lonnie Wayne Blanton, an old cowboy who happens to be our general. The man is important to me. He saved my life and put me on the right path. And now I'm trying to figure out how in the hell to tell him that it was all for nothing.
"All squads pinned down. Things are royally fucked. Moving to support Beta."
"Roger," says Lonnie. A pause.
"Hold on. Long as you can."
"Thank you," I radio back. "Thank you for everything."
We made it this far only by reverse engineering the enemy's weapons. Grey Horse Army was able to march to within 1,000-mile perimeter of Big Rob. We left our blood splashed in the woods, and we kept on marching. We broke the 500-mile perimeter over the screaming of fallen soldiers. And here, at the 100-mile perimeter, our force has splintered and broken, and now we have lost everything. All we have left to fight for now is each other. Ducking stray fire, I close in on Beta Squad's position. The soldiers are back-to-back at the edge of a clearing. Most are lost in the dusky light. But I see right away that my brain boy, Carl, is on his ass. The engineer is whimpering and clawing and kicking his way backward through the snow.
"Carl!" I shout. "On your feet!"
I lean for him, and he keeps moaning and struggling. He is under my command, but my soldier won't look at me, and he won't take my hand, and I can't figure out why until I notice his eyes. Not where he's looking, but where he won't look. Something black crawling low and fast on too many legs, and another one. They're starting to come up from under the snow by the dozens. Too late. I don't feel the pincers at first. Just this strong pressure on the base of my neck. I'm in a hydraulic-powered bear hug. I spin around in the slushy snow, but there's nobody behind me. Whatever it is has climbed up my back and got a good hold. My knees sag with the lurching weight of it. Crooked black feelers reach around my chest, and my spine is on fire as the thing decides to dig in. A bundle of squirming razor blades. This is a whole new hell I've never felt before. Shit, shit, shit! What is this that it hurts so damn much? Carl's got his frost-plated rifle up, training it on me. The gun strap hangs stiff and crusty in the Arctic breeze. Around us, my soldiers are screaming and dancing in tight, panicked circles, trying to shake off their own monsters. Some are running. But me and the engineer are having our own little moment here.
"Carl!"
I wheeze.
"No!"
My voice sounds hollow from the pain of whatever has gotten between my shoulder blades. Judging from Carl's blank face, I figure that I'm not in a very happy spot. No, sir. That is a full-on negatory. Carl lets go of his rifle entirely, and the strap catches on his forearm. He stumbles away, gun dangling, wipes his eyes with shaking fingers, tendons streaking the backs of his hands. His complicated engineering helmet falls off and thunks into the snow, just an empty bowl.
"Lark,"
he says.
"Oh, Lark, I'm sorry."
He's crying. I could give a shit. I'm being flayed alive, straining and groaning against black spider legs gripping my body, doing drunken pirouettes in the slush. Knotty black arms are slicing into the meat of my thighs, sprouting smaller feelers like barbs. Others grip my biceps, elbows, forearms, and even my fingers. I am in command, but I am most definitely not in control. Some of my soldiers are still thrashing in the shadows. Some aren't. The wounded are crawling and hobbling away as fast as they can, coiled black shapes slicing toward them like scorpions.
"Damn it, I'm sorry, Lonnie."
Carl has hightailed it. Left his...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?